I was involved in one of the projects that's in the 3+1 case studies, and I have the great privilege and pleasure of working with Dr. Hank Herrera, who's, as you heard earlier, sitting in the front row as a colleague, friend, mentor, and co-author. So those are our disclosures, and he's involved in the plus one case study, and that doesn't work, so let me do this. So childhood VCD is a problem. If you have questions about that, you can talk to me afterwards. The U.S. Has reached a tipping point, both in the sense that it's finally leveling off, except in sub-sub communities, the rates of increase, and also in the sense of we're finally taking national action, like Let's Move, and the convergence partnerships are examples of that, better late than never. Community approaches are very much being proposed and invested in as a solution, yet very little research has been done on what communities are actually doing to prevent childhood obesity, especially if you don't count exclusively school-based interventions. So, at least in the context for today, looking at what actions some of these projects are taking to prevent childhood obesity, I like to make up acronyms, so I'll call it BCO, and the implications for us working regionally and nationally. And so I did three case studies. I chose these from in about between 2007 and 2009. I just scoured every possible information source for what community childhood obesity prevention projects were out there. I excluded projects focusing on treatment or that were all obesity as opposed to just children. I found 36 at that time, scattered, founded in the years as shown here. And then I chose Shape Up Somerville, which is the most famous childhood obesity prevention project, very, very well funded, mostly by Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Eat Well, Play Hard, Shemung, which was one of, depending on the year, about 12 Eat Well, Play Hard projects funded by the State Department of Health, and my own project, Whole Community Project in Tompkins County, which had not much funding. And I looked at the time to recruit a sort of an alternative approach to prevention, and I went to Hank, who was at the time coordinating the HOPE Collaborative. His steering committee said no, which saved me a lot of work. That they didn't want to be part of my study, but I still use them as I tracked what they're doing and became worked with Hank, looking at what they were doing in contrast and comparison to the other three. So that's the plus one part. So my method was to live and breathe these projects for over a year or more in the one I was involved in, which I operationalized as interviews, document analysis, and participation and observation, and I analyzed them in several ways. I'm going to focus today on, I took all the actions they took and mapped them to this framework, which is called the Angela Framework, which has been used for planning, and this is the first time it was used retrospectively to look at what projects actually had done. I adapted it in the way shown in red, mostly by he divides it settings into micro and macro. I made that micro and meso, with a micro being, for example, one school, and a meso environment being a whole school district. I split out physical environment into durable things versus programs and events. And I could spend hours telling you stories from the projects, but the kinds of actions they took were school and community gardens in two of the projects. Active transport changes, for example, Shape Up got millions of dollars in addition to the funding I showed earlier, including to build what they call Linear Park, a new community path, and lots of new bike parking. School food improvements, all three worked in that area. One of the most interesting things is this sun-kissed sectionizer machine shown up there. And once a week, volunteers would staff the machine when whole fruit was being sold, and fruit sales went on those days from 60 to 260 because the kids wanted their fruit sliced. And I bet you, I've bought one of those machines and used them in schools, I bet you if they'd let the kids slice the machine, actually pull the lever, which even a kindergartner can do, then it probably would have been even more than that. Really simple, cheap way to increase fruit and vegetable consumption, also behind the counter. People have reported salad bar sales increases when they use those machines because it all looks so nice and pretty, not to mention the labor savings. So they all did activity events as well. All three expanded market access, farmers market access, including creating new markets in all three communities. And this one was founded by, for, with a historically African-American community center in Tompkins County called Congo Square Market after the one in New Orleans. So a check means they did a lot, a squiggly means they did a little, and an X means none. This is a very succinct summary of the kinds of actions they took. So they did great in physical environmental changes for around food and activity, particularly in programming and events. They did pretty well in sociocultural, not so good in economic changes, but they did some work in policy and working at not just the microenvironment, but the meso environment. Of course, because these are community projects, they weren't trying to tackle regions or the whole country, so you wouldn't expect that, which is why I didn't generally cover it. But it was interesting, the Eat Well, Play Hard projects all were required by the state to do low-fat milk taste testings with WIC clients, and that went so well that the state decided to only allow low-fat milk coupons for WIC clients in New York State. So that led to a policy change at the state level because of those Eat Well, Play Hard projects. And I would say that Shape Up Somerville has had a little influence nationally, just because it's got so much press. The mayor of Somerville is often at the Let's Move events. So the successes and struggles, I would say that they were very good at micro and some meso level action. They especially were good at programming and events, social marketing, cultural influences. Less good at policy change, though there were some, certainly, like banning cupcakes and Head Start and increasing bike park. If you couldn't have a new, every new parking space in Somerville had to have 7 bike parking spaces to go with it, for example. But they really were not good at economic action, about changing the economic incentives for food and activity. And obviously not that great at working beyond the communities. This is a whole other presentation, but I just want to mention there was definitely struggle with being inclusive, especially racially, and grassroots participation, and I would say this is especially the case for Somerville, even though they were by far the most diverse community in the, of the three that I really studied. My potential implications of this, I think, is that we nationally should be building regional and national project networks to help projects with the areas they're not so strong in, and also help them become part of national change. And there's an excellent model for this in Australia called co-ops that we could follow. The projects were pretty isolated other than their own funding networks. And I think that would make a big difference, both in their community action as well as to be able to build that international change. Obviously, it takes a long time to make these kinds of environmental changes. And some funders were really front-loading their funding and then cutting it off. And I would suggest that a longer-term, lower level of funding, just to have a facilitator, would be a better approach. And it was interesting, too, where the facilitators or the coordinators were based had a pretty big impact on how participatory the projects were. Shape Up Somerville is now currently chaired, actually, by the mayor himself, pretty top-down, and they have real trouble with participation, as opposed to a bottom-up model, which has led to a lot of community organizing, harder to get the policy changes, or a middle out. And if we had a concrete sort of triangulation or people who, collaborating across all three sectors, like somebody in government who's sort of tasked to stay in touch with the coordinator wherever they're based and working at all three levels together, I think all of these projects would have done much better. They all suffered from limitations because of where they were located and advantages where they were located. This is a drastic conclusion, but I think we're doing these projects pretty much right, at least according to the Angelo framework. Over time, they increased a meso level action, and over time, they did better across the areas. But it led me to the question, especially in comparison to Hope, if they're the right thing to do. And I say that because we talk about obesity. The president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation talked about obesity as a movement. Other people have used it that way. There's also been other movements involving food and physical activity. For example, there's an anti-hunger movement, and I would just say that both of these things are negative, and movements are usually community organizing, and movements are built around positive things as solutions, like active transport and livable communities, sustainability movement, living wage anti-poverty movements, the foodies, community food security movement, and the coalition, and more recently, food sovereignty. I would say that all these things I just layered on are real movements that are grassroots. And a lot of the actions that these projects that call themselves childhood obesity prevention projects were taking fit into one or more of these other movements. And I think the project suffered because they sometimes confused interventions that were evidence-based coming out of the literature with also trying to be a grassroots movement. And a grassroots movement isn't going to eliminate low-fat milk from WIC coupons. That's more intervention-like. And at the same time, they were being asked to create new farmers markets, which is much more an organizing thing. And I think they suffered from that kind of conflict. And I would describe and contrast intervention versus organizing as having very different goals, which I think is partly what would get them limited how effective they could be. You know, intervention is trying to fix problems or people, whereas an organizing model is trying to build democratic power and dignity and agency. An intervention looks at people as consumers, targets, audiences, populations, words we hear a lot in public health. And an organizing model frames people as citizens and actors and local experts. The motives are very different. The approaches are very different. Programs and interventions are obviously an intervention model, whereas an organizing model tries to build citizenship, new leaders, people to develop their own policy and takes an overall community organizing approach. And interventions happen in departments. Organizing happens in public spaces. So it's very hard. You can bridge these, but it's very hard to blend them. And if any of you had the great privilege of seeing Dr. Cornel West speak on Sunday, this is the organizing model very much builds public life, like he was advocating. And it's certainly much more appropriate for social justice approaches to health and other kinds of equity. So just in conclusion, I would say that obesity prevention doesn't lend itself to an organizing model. The food system approaches that you're hearing about from other people lend itself much more to an organizing model. And I think that these projects would have achieved much more if all of their effort had gone to food system change, like the HOPE Collaborative, than focusing on the problem-based solution. And one of the projects that I was involved, the one I was involved in, actually switched. They shifted away from a childhood obesity prevention model to a food justice, food system changing model, and they became incredibly, they've generated dozens of gardens, new markets, lots of involvement from people who have never come to the table before in Ithaca, New York, because they changed that model. So thank you very much to these people.